Everyone, welcome back to Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. We are very excited for Season 9 to kick off, and we actually have some exciting news. Between Season 8 and now, we have become the official AFLW Fantasy Podcast.
Woo!
Woo!
Four smooths. Okay, I'm your co-host Mel, and I'm joined by these three guys. We got Liam, Jono, and Will. How's it going, guys?
I'm great, thanks.
All the more better for the woos.
Excellent. So we'll give ourselves a little bit of a recap of what Free Kick is and who we are for any new listeners that we have this season. So as some of you may know, AFLW Fantasy had its first unofficial game come out in early 2022. So for the first season, I think that was season 6. It was a game put together by Moreira's Magic, and the four of us played this fantasy game and absolutely fell in love. And we were talking about it all the time, and we were kind of lacking for resources. Obviously, very new. AFLW hadn't been around that long, let alone the fantasy game. But we decided if we were going to keep playing this, we could just be the resources that we wanted. So going into the season 7, or the second season in 2022, we came together and made Free Kick. So it started with the four of us playing the unofficial game, Moreira's Magic. Liam, why don't you tell us how you've gone in Moreira's Magic and the official game so far?
Yeah, thanks for the throw. So managed to, unbeknownst to anyone that knows me, fluke my way to third overall in that first season. After having shown little ability to rank extremely highly, having played fantasy in the men's game for a few seasons before then. So that was pretty cool. And so that definitely was a big part of me going, oh, maybe I'm not horrendous at this AFLW fantasy thing. We started the podcast. I started spending more time getting frustrated and loud and very, very strong in my arguing on the podcast in season 7, in our first season, and I had a horrendous result on overall ranking, which is great. But I helped other people is how I'm going to make myself feel better about it.
That's what I tell myself, Liam.
Oh, yeah, great. Yes. We'll get to your success in a minute. And then last season, I finally managed to start taking some of my own advice when it came to playing the game, and managed to come from the stars in the last couple of rounds and finish 88th overall, get myself a hat, which is definitely the goal again this year. But it was definitely in no small part because I stopped overthinking things and not listening to the advice that I was very helpfully giving other people. So I've had some success so far. Now, Will, on the opposite end of the scale.
Yes. So I'm Will, and I have been an AFLW fan since its inception. So I've been following the AFLW for as long as it's been a thing, and was very, very keen to play AFLW Fantasy as soon as it became a thing. And so once we knew there was going to be an AFLW Fantasy platform, I basically said to these, my fellow co-hosts, let's play. I'm super keen to talk about it with you. And as a result of that, I'd like to think that my role as the AFLW historian amongst us really helped us all out. And we all did really, really well in that first AFLW fantasy game, but
did we?
I didn't. No.
It's very important to note as well, I am an unequivocal sports nuffy. I will watch all games of every sport possible. Jono, I'm going to speak on your behalf. You are absolutely the same. Mel, May has not been afflicted to the same degree, probably healthier as a result. However, I think we can all say that when it comes to AFLW, he is chief nuff. He knows everything, has watched every game, goes to more games than I can poke a stick at of AFLW. So when he says he is a historian, it is not that far off the truth.
Yeah, I've billed myself as the photographer and historian for the podcast because my actual role as a person playing fantasy sometimes is a bit lacking. I say I didn't do that well in that first season, but I just finished outside the top 100, missing out on a hat, unlike my three co-hosts. But it was great fun, and I've had a roller coaster ride in the last couple of seasons, including the famous ships passing in the night moment with Liam last year, where I looked like I was streaming towards a hat with Liam and then decided to very quickly go the other way, thanks to one particular round where all of my players decided that they weren't going to do well. But that's one of the challenges of this game, and it's one of the reasons that I really enjoy it, is watching the game and watching the players.
I am fully on board, and yes, that was an intentional pun, the ship of we're getting at Will Hat this year. It's not going to be ships passing in the night. It's going to be two ships pulling safely into harbour right alongside each other. My hat, I've got my success last year. This hashtag 2024 will success.
Yeah, so one of the things that I'm hoping will help me is I'm actually going to be absent for a fair bit of this season as I am getting married. But thankfully, we do have the return of everyone's favourite podcast voice. The delightful Jono is back. Jono, welcome back to Free Kick. How are you going? And what is your history with Free Kick?
Oh, thank you, mate. It's good to be back. I've missed hanging out with the four of us on a podcast. It's a highlight of my week. It's been a long absence. I think I was overseas for most of last year, let alone all of last season. And I got to say that watching footy games at 2:30 in the morning in a little back alley of Kansas City, it makes it very hard to pay attention and understand what's going on. So it's going to be good to be back in and amongst it this season. I suppose when it comes to my role on this podcast, I think I come in with probably the most amount of time playing fantasy. Probably done it for, 18 years now. I've got myself a hat on the men's, which is nice, and a couple close top 100 finishes. When it comes to the women's, that first season in the unofficial managed a 15th finish. But to be honest, I'm still yet to get mine in the official game, which Project 2024, here we go. But yeah, I'm still trying to figure out. I think I've got the strategy wrong. I've noticed that I've managed to beat Liam every year in the men's, and he's beaten me every year in the women's. So it's clearly a strategy thing and not a luck thing. I've got to figure out what's going on here. I'm going to beat him this year. This is the one.
I am completely happy for that to be a case. I am very happy to see my friends succeed. I'm not going to get frustrated if my own decisions see me fall behind. I'm going to be cool, calm, and collected, and going to be pro teammates. I am all aboard the Jono train, the Will train, and the Mel train to beat me this year.
To beat you, okay. Well, I started 10,000th last season, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be a contender for beating you, but thank you for your well wishes. Unfortunately, I am not a AFLW encyclopedia or someone that has played men's fantasy for 15 years. So my fantasy scores aren't that great. And, well, they were okay to begin with, but as I've been putting more and more time into managing this podcast and less time finicking? Playing around? Oh, I'm great with words too. Less and less time finessing my trades each week. I have seen my fantasy score drop, but it's okay because I'm enthusiastic and I have a lot of fun, and that's what matters.
This is also ignoring the fact that you did also win a hat in that first season, Mel, so don't discount yourself too quickly.
There weren't that many people playing. But that's okay, we'll pretend.
I didn't get one, so
clearly high quality coaches just outside the 100 there. Yeah.
Oh gosh. So, in terms of what's happening with AFLW Fantasy in 2024, we've got a bit of information we've got to get through. Let's start off with the dates we need to know. Will, what have we got on?
Now that the AFLW Fantasy platform is open, I guess the only thing left is for there to actually be games in order to score some points. So, the AFLW season is beginning on the 29th of August. You need to have your teams locked away by that point, or at least the end of that first round. So you've still got plenty of time to get your teams in, to do a bit of planning, and hopefully figure out a little bit of the strategy. But another important set of dates is actually for the pre-season games that are happening. There's match simulations and practice games across the second and then third weeks of August. So that's the 9th to the 11th for the match simulations, and then the 16th to the 18th for the actual practice games. Hopefully those will be streamed, but you will hopefully as well be able to go to them and see those in live action, But I know, Liam, you'll be hoping for those streams to be made available.
Yes, it's going to be a goal of mine. I'm going to be campaigning to not only get rewatchable versions of those live streams, but then also trying to get some stats for them as well. Because if you're fully on board with taking this thing very seriously, then you always want to see how the teams are going stats-wise in the preseason. Always some fascinating new options crop up. So don't stress. We'll tell you more as soon as we know it. Fingers crossed. We're going to get both of them.
Yes, excellent. And speaking of stats, in terms of how we're putting 11 rounds into 10 weeks, we're having some interesting bye rounds and double fixtures. Liam, do you want to walk us through, just at a high level, what that's going to mean for us?
Just quickly, everyone, this is a big part of the reason why Liam's got his new cool, calm, and collected demeanor at the moment, because this is something that maybe 2023 Liam might have got a bit upset about, but this year he is cool as a cucumber, Liam.
It's an outrageous suggestion that you would say that I would get heated or get very strong in the way that I speak about something that I'm passionate about. I resent the insinuation.
Yes. So, and thankfully we don't have any recorded, you know, evidence of that either. So moving on.
You heard nothing. So if you haven't noticed this in the preseason, that's totally understandable. But when the AFLW fixture got released, there's a new mechanic. Instead of there being 10 rounds, 10 games for each team, it's instead there's 11 games across 10 weeks. So that means that there are 4 weeks in the middle of the season, rounds 4 through 7, where teams will play twice in a week. So they'll play one game on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and then the second game they'll play on a Sunday. However, that makes it a bit interesting for fantasy if you've played before. So what's the most important thing you're going to know? You're going to get double points. So if you've got a player in your team that has a double game week or a bye round, as bye as in two, you're going to get points from both their first game and from their second game. It's going to be really cool. Going to create some really fascinating new things, particularly when it comes to captaincy choices, because that's now a lot of extra double points. But that also does mean that we're going to have to be on top of trading, because those players will lock out on their first game. So that means that round will end on a Sunday, and then there will be another game when we need to be making trades on the Tuesday evening. So it's going to be a completely new thing. We'll talk about it more and some of the strategy later on, potentially later on today's episode. Who knows? But most importantly, just know that it's something we're going to be thinking about. It's going to keep cropping up when we do these episodes. It's going to be something kind of percolating along in the background.
We also need to say, when we were discussing these prior, we were talking about how for those who have played men's fantasy before, it's kind of similar to the bye rounds, but the opposite, because they're playing twice rather than not playing at all. But we were more than a little bit proud that we were able to change the name of bye round to the bye rounds.
Wow.
That was something that we were pretty, pretty happy with.
Genius.
You say we, you mean Will. You are very happy with that word play.
I like to give credit to the entire podcast when it's due, so.
What an amazing creative mind you have, Will.
I'll be here all day.
Great. And if anyone wants to learn more about how to play fantasy, Jono, where can they go?
Yeah, we're very conscious that not everyone's played AFLW Fantasy before, so we're going to be releasing an AFLW Fantasy Explainer episode in the coming days, and it's basically just going to go through, you know, what's a kick worth, what's a mark worth, the very basics of how to play this game. So if you are brand new to the game or you just want to catch up on some of these basics, keep an eye out for that episode coming later this week.
Awesome. In terms of free kick and what we'll be putting out, so right now in the preseason, we've got our team reviews going out. So that's a look at what's changed with each club in the off-season, including a bit of team fantasy analysis of some of the key players and an interview with a player from the team. So have a look at each of those, whether it's your team or not your team. The interviews and the episodes are pretty fun. So go have a listen to some of those. Also in the preseason, we'll be doing line-by-line breakdowns, which will be accompanied by articles on the AFLW website. This is looking at the top defenders, premiums, mid-prices, rookies, etc. in each line to help you build out your team. And then when we get into the season, we will be doing, well, we would be doing weekly episodes of a fantasy chat between us on how we've gone, but some weeks might be two, mixing it up with some Twitter live streams in between to accommodate for the condensed schedule. But while we're still in preseason, there's some major off-season storylines that we have to talk through. Will, what have you got for us?
Well, the first thing is that there are now four new coaches to take into account when you're thinking about what's happening with fantasy. So the four new coaches are Daisy Pierce has taken over West Coast, Daniel Webster is the new coach for Hawthorn, Sam Wright is the new coach for Collingwood, and Tamara Hyatt has taken over the Western Bulldogs, who we'll hear a bit more about in a second. But basically, this means that these four clubs are probably going to have quite different ways that they play, which may mean new roles. It may mean players that have previously been high scoring may not be. It may also mean that previously not high scoring players could become very fantasy relevant. So it's going to be very interesting to see how these coaches change their teams and how they affect the game styles. And we'll be watching that very intently across the preseason and through our club reviews as well, hearing what the players have to say about these new coaches and what it means for fantasy, given that's what's of particular interest to us, I suppose.
And for those long-time AFLW fantasy players, I can tell you one thing, and that's for sure. In this preseason, we have already heard word that Ella Roberts, midfielder again. So she scored excellently there last year, and I think we can expect, not to get ahead of ourselves, probably something similar, if not better, this year. And I know that I'm just now ranting about all these different teams, but I think that the Collingwood midfield is going to be fascinating to watch and see what that looks like. And then also, Hawthorn have been a team that have had some really good pieces in some places, but haven't had a whole lot of fantasy-relevant options at a lot of different positions outside of Batesy. So it's going to be a fascinating preseason. We're going to be on top of all the articles that are coming out, all the interviews being given by players and coaches. But I think where these new coaches are sitting, it's going to create fantasy opportunity writ large.
Yeah, on the Hawthorn one, particularly as a Hawks fan, I feel like we've had a young team. And with this new coach, I'm so confident. I feel like we're really going to come through and have like a big breakout season. I don't know if that is necessarily going to extend to finals, but I can see a lot of the pieces falling together.
Yeah, new coach and a lot of turnover makes for a very interesting team.
Yeah, and I think the other one for me, being a long-time Collingwood follower, I'm actually a Geelong supporter for all those who haven't listened to us previously, but given Geelong didn't have a team in the initial seasons, I've supported my partner. Her team is Collingwood, so a lot of people will think that's fairly blasphemous, but I just love the AFLW and just want to support everyone. But Sam Wright coming into to Collingwood is going to be super interesting because Steve Simmons didn't do a terrible job at Collingwood, just never quite was able to get them up to that level that really competed for the flag. And so it'll be interesting to see how, you know, a fresh voice will change that Collingwood team, which had probably grown a little bit stagnant. So that's going to be a really interesting watch as well.
As well as having a lot of new coaches coming to season 9, we've also had at least one team with a very big list overhaul, which is making for some exciting fantasy opportunities, and that is my team, Freo. So for everyone that played last season, the Bowers drama caused at least one lot of pain. If you're a sucker and you brought her back in between, you got two rounds of pain. So the fact that Bowers is taking this season off for pregnancy is quite exciting because it means that we're not going to be having to ask if we're going to cough up a lot of cash for Kiara Bowers like we have every other season so far. And it opens up some more opportunities in the squad positions within Freo. But then we also got some bad news that Ange Stannett, who was a must-have in last season, has done her ACL in the preseason, which means that we're now missing Freo's two big guns. So fantasy perspective in terms of choosing your midfielders, interesting opportunities, but then also who's filling that key role within Fremantle when we've already seen from their new coach last season a bit of role shuffling with known midfielder Hayley Miller moving into the forward and a few other interesting swaps between forward and defence. Yeah, this is going to be a great team to pick some fantasy players from once we know how they're going to play. What are you guys most excited for here?
Yeah, I think for me, the opportunity for Gab O'Sullivan, she's been a fantasy relevant player for many years and has also burnt a lot of people through both role and injury But if she can stay fit, I can really see her filling that midfield role. But I think a player that has come a bit from left field is one that Jono is very, very keen to see in that midfield. Whether it happens is yet to be seen. But Jono, who do you hope gets that midfield role?
By the logic of trying to keep your best players around the footy as much as possible, I can really see someone like Emma O'Driscoll getting in the middle, or even further left field. Gabby Newton's come across, former number one pick. She could also spend some time in the middle. I think there's a lot of opportunities that Freo's going to be looking at, different mixes they can go with this season, because they're clearly keen to have Hayley Miller forward of the ball for some reason, despite her being one of the best midfielders in the comp. And no Bowers, no Ange Stannett. You know, there's a lot of options. It's going to be interesting to watch.
And those are two very spicy ones because Newton and O'Driscoll are both listed as defenders. So
I think the biggest improver isn't going to come from two players that I do not expect to see midfield time. I think Emma O'Driscoll is their most important defender. She was literally just an All-Australian.
She's phenomenal. I fully agree.
I think that her best skill is in her intercepting work, and Fremantle don't exactly have a lot of stocks in key positions. Same goes for Gabby Newton. I think she is a forward or a defender. At time of recording, we don't know. The one I really want to talk about, though, is Dana East. We're not talking about someone who's come into the midfield new, but we're talking about someone who has actually shown moments through her career so far as a midfielder. Now, what is hilarious is that she's played three seasons. She has averaged 52.3, 53.3, and then 52 last season. So
consistent.
Remarkably consistent, but most importantly, she actually saw four more disposals per game last season, but didn't increase her scoring because her tackles went down. And the big thing with both Bowers and Stannett is they were really high tackling players. And Dana East is probably the one I expect to be in there the most this season. I think she presents fascinating options at value. It's a real risk because she's not exactly been a massive scorer in her career, but I still think there's some real fantasy potential there.
I'm not going to disagree with you on Dana East. I think it's a great pick. I can just also see a defender going in. I mean, we talk about Ruby Slasher being one of the best defenders in the game, and she made that exact move two seasons ago.
I also just think it's just, even though it's probably right, picking a midfielder to do well in the midfield, it's far more interesting to just pick a random defender like Jono has.
Yeah, where's your sense of occasion, Liam?
Yeah, let's get our hot takes in early.
We're not going to be able to speculate this once we know that they're not playing midfield.
I'm presenting a modest, understated voice, the cool, calm, collected opinion. No ranting this year.
Hushed right. tones only from Liam. We've also got Ash McCarthy. There's a few other names in there. There's lots going on at Freo. So what happens with Freo? We've put as the second point on our major off-season storyline because it's that big of a deal. And then there's another club that's had a big mix-up. Jono, talk us through Bulldogs.
Yeah, the Western Bulldogs. They had a very, very difficult 2023, to put it lightly, finishing bottom of the ladder. They lost their coach. But I think the real impact that we're going to be watching the flow-on effect this year is the amount of player turnover that we saw is something that I don't think I can remember seeing another club have for a while. So they had 10 players leave in the off-season. Wow. None bigger than Kirstie Lamb. Absolutely crucial, like, foundation player for them. And she's headed off now to Port Adelaide. You've seen Celine Moody head off, one of their best ruck forward players. You've seen Gabby Newton head off, former number one pick. Katie Lynch, one of the best intercepting defenders in the game.
Interesting.
We've also seen a couple players retired in Rochelle Cranston and Kirsten McLeod. And I think all of these players, plus a lot of the players that, you know, I haven't mentioned, a lot of these were best 21 players most weeks. And so we're going to see, I think we've done our best 21s recently for the Bulldogs. I think probably 8 of their players that we're going to see this season are going to be brand new to their squad with a brand new coach. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens here.
Yeah, and I think another really interesting thing about this overhaul for the Dogs is obviously finishing low on the ladder. They had a pretty good draft haul, as well as losing quite a few players, but they actually went into the draft without a coach or a proper list manager. Just shows just how tumultuous it was for the Bulldogs, not just last season, but in the off-season as well.
Is there anyone that you're actually hot on to be a real fantasy boon this year? Because, like, yeah, there's massive holes. Surely that crisis creates opportunity.
I would say that firstly, the number one pick in the game, Kirstie Lee Weston-Turner, the double hyphen, she's going to be an absolute superstar from day one, I fully believe. She's going to get a lot of time. It really depends where she plays. I think she's most likely to be playing as a key forward type role, which is not necessarily the best fantasy point position, but we'll see. The other one that we're looking at is someone like a Brooke Barwick, who, again, is likely to be sort of a half forward or a midfielder, sort of going between those two positions. But she has some decent numbers in the juniors, so hopefully a bit of a fantasy scorer for our teams. And that's all before we talk about someone like Alice Edmonds, that I know we've got a long way before we get to our ruck episode, but I fully believe she can be the number one ruck in the game. So we're going to be talking about the Bulldogs a lot this season, I get the sense.
Yeah, excellent. Lots of new coaches, a couple of very interesting team rebuilds, essentially, and then the fixtures. We can't go past it. I know you alluded to it before, Liam, but the way we fit this game in and what it means for essentially playing fantasy to the roster, what do you see as some of the biggest impacts of that?
If anything's going to break Liam's cool, calm, collected resolve, it's going to be the fixtures. So I'm very excited to hear this.
Let's see if he makes it to the episode.
I refuse to allow it to break me. So I alluded to it. It's going to be different timing mechanics for when you need to make your trades. Players locked in, players locked out. The other thing, the most important thing for fantasy scoring, though, is there's going to be 4 weeks where there's some players that will get 2x points. So they will get points for both sets of games. Now, that's going to create two really interesting and important thoughts. First of all, when you're creating your first team for round one, are we going to be prioritizing those players that have a double game week in round one? So that's the Western Bulldogs, funny that. West Coast Eagles, another team we've already talked about. And then Collingwood, oh, funny, we've talked about them as well. And then the reigning premiers in Brisbane. And so when you're sitting there, and I've been doing a little bit of thinking, someone that we really need to think about is Ali Henderson, because as far as I'm aware, she'll get the captain for me and she'll get 4x points in round one. And she's someone that we know can go at 95 plus. That will be an excellent option. Now, I don't necessarily like the fixtures she has beforehand, but it's going to be interesting to see, do we need to fit her into our side?
Yeah, I think this double captaincy thing, and this may be your second point, Liam, but the double captaincy is going to be such an interesting thing, because if you've got a player who scores massively across those two games, unlike our normal captain where you're going, oh, I'm super stoked if I can get, you know, 220 points, you could be looking at a captaincy of over 400 points here. That's a big, big change for those who've played fantasy before.
That leads me perfectly into my next point, which is when we're making trades, rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7, when you make a trade, you need to make sure you only trade into people with buy rounds still to come. Because if you don't, and let's say you make a trade in round 5, and I trade in Kalinda Howarth from Collingwood, I'm missing out on a week of scoring that the player that I probably just traded out already has. And when we're trying to maximize our score across our teams, rounds 4 through 7, we're going to need to try and maximize as many players that come for our squad who get double points in a week.
Because it's not really going to work if we go with the best player that's only playing once. They're not possible. I mean, in some small situations, but you're probably always going to be better picking an average player that's going to get 2 rounds worth rather than an excellent player who only gets 1. So that adds a real interesting dynamic, because it's not just points for dollars anymore. It's points for dollars and games, essentially.
Yeah, 275s is better than 1-120, so you never know.
Matt. Even a rookie who might go 40-45, still better than a lot of premium defenders that we had last year, who it's hard to push an 80. It's not an easy thing in the shorter game times of the AFLW. So, yeah, it's a completely new mechanic for us. I've had a bit of a chance to think about it. So thinking about some of the...
I've made peace
with it. It's not my favourite mechanic in the world, but given the realities of the season, it is what it is. But it's also I'm having to think backwards, like, who's got games in these rounds? Who are they playing against? Should I be targeting them? Should I be avoiding them? Who might be my captain options? It's a really fascinating new thing to do. I'm learning as we go along. We will try and educate you as well. it's not going to be perfect. We're not going to know the perfect strategy and the way to nail this. And it's going to be hard to tell until the season's done. But I'm going to be trying to get it up to speed as quickly as possible. And hopefully, as a result, our advice can be somewhat helpful.
Hopefully.
Yeah, and I think the thing about this is going to be a very complex puzzle for players new and old. So we're going to talk about this in a lot more detail later on. So if that's left you a little bit confused, especially for the newer players, don't you worry. We're going to go into this in a lot more detail later on.
But I've got to say, as someone that's only been playing fantasy for a few years, the first time I played on an unofficial platform with different prices, then we had new clubs, or maybe that was the same year, I can't quite remember. But then we had all these new clubs come in, which made it even more complex. And then we had an official platform. Now we've got another, you know, spanner in the works. So it just keeps us on our toes, you know. You can't be good every year if they keep changing the rules from beneath you. So here's to having a bit of fun with some new rules.
I think I'm pretty excited just for the fact that there's new strategy, though, because I feel like every season, sometimes you kind of get, if the rules are the same, then you end up with the same strategies, you end up with the same players. I like the fact that we're just changing it up, and there's going to be players that are relevant that have never been relevant before, because they weren't playing twice in a week before. So
yep,
that'll be fun. That'll be fun to see.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So that's all from us on our introduction and overview of what's changed in the off season. If you want more free kick, we've got our club review episodes up on our Spotify, Instagram and Twitter shortly. And you can have a look at our best 21s over on socials as well. You can find us on Twitter as FreeKickWPod, Instagram as also FreeKickWPod.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. First of the preseason, we always nail these for new listeners. We're always so good at our socials.
I don't think we've ever got one of these right first up.
What's out? No one's telling me.
Or okay, 10th it is up correct. Or 50th up.
Okay. Yeah, we made sure they were the same so we could avoid this, and then we continued to muck it up anyway. So.
Great. Fantastic. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't even restart. I'd just keep going.
Oh, just from here. Okay, well, you can find us on Insta as FreeKickWPod. You can find me on Twitter as FreeKickMel.
Damn, we used to have an order for this.
Mel, you throw, remember?
I don't have to. Surely I don't have to say, Liam, where can they find? Okay, we'll do it again.
We used to have a really good order for this.
If you could do it in exactly that tone, where Liam. It's like a little bit condescending, that would be great.
Liam,
yeah.
Who the hell are you?
You can find me on Twitter as FreeKickMel. Liam?
You can find me on Twitter at LiamAFLWFantasy.
You can find me, Jono, on Twitter at FreeKickJono.
And Will.
And you can find me on Twitter as well at FreeKickWill. Liam being notably the only one that doesn't have a FreeKick name Twitter handle at this stage. And you can also find me on Instagram. I take a lot of pictures with the players. So if you are interested in the player side of things and want to see pictures of the players, you can also find me on Instagram at WillH_VI. But yeah, lots of exciting stuff coming up for FreeKick, especially on the socials.
For all the official news that you need, make sure you're following AFL Fantasy on Twitter. Make sure you give them a follow on Instagram. And then to actually play, make sure that you go to aflwfantasy.afl. Get your team started. We'll be here to help you all out in my most cool, calm and zen fashion.
Excellent. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. More coming from us soon. Chat to you guys later. Bye.
See ya.
Catch you later.
Bye.